You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Here we go.
What's up, y'all? How's it going, Wisconsin and beyond? My name is Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Wednesday. It's hump day, and hump days mean that at 2:30, I'm going to be joined for Sounds Like Change, a very special guest today. It is my weekly segment with Emily's List. Today, we've got Christina Reynolds, the Senior Vice President of Communications and Content at Emily's List. This could not be more timely, of course, because Donald Trump had, some sort of a woman's event today that broadcast. It was pre-recorded, but broadcast on Fox. And I think about 11 a.m. today, it was weird. Are you surprised? But it was weird. So we'll talk about that with Christina. Really excited to have that discussion, as well as our very special guest for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money today at 3 o'clock. We've got Jeff Clemens. He is the CEO of American Promise, a cross-partisan, which means multi-partisan organization, working to pass a constitutional amendment to take big money out of politics. Can we think of anything that may help our political system more than that? I mean, we can talk about ranked choice voting. We can talk about getting rid of the unfair electoral college, lots of things. But I think that from a reform perspective, universally, every single regular person knows that money in politics is bad. And we've got to figure out how to do something about that. So we're going to talk with Jeff about that today. I am really excited for that conversation. And folks, we are now 2 days out from the only Senate debate that will be had in this state between Tammy Baldwin and Eric the Carpetbagger, 100 millionaire, plus banker from California who likes to act like he's actually a Wisconsinite. That debate is going to be hosted by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Foundation, which is fabulous. And Civic Media is going to have you covered. We're going to have pre-debate coverage. We'll broadcast the debate. That's this Friday, October 18th. You're not going to want to miss that. Also, just got word, if you listen frequently, you know that on Thursdays at 3:30, I'm usually joined by Dr. Kristen Lierley, who's the candidate for Congress out of the 8th Congressional District. I think she's going to be able to join us tomorrow. And if she can, you are not going to want to miss it, because she will likely have just gotten off the stage with Vice President Harris, which would be such a treat. Yes, Dr. Kristen Lierley appearing in Green Bay tomorrow with Vice President Harris. That is truly a treat. I'm so excited for Dr. Lierley, but also for the Green Bay community, that whole corridor of Wisconsin. I think it's great that the vice president and Governor Walz have spent so much time campaigning in Wisconsin, but especially in the more rural areas, not just in the Milwaukee and Madison Democratic strongholds. That is really essential, and I think it's the key to winning on November 5th. So Keep your eyes peeled. There may be some posts on social media ahead of that. If we can ensure that Dr. Latterly is going to be able to join us after appearing with the vice president. Again, you can find me and frankly, all of my stream of consciousness thinking on X. Sometimes I really do light my hair on fire and let it fly. If you go to X, you can find me at Maggie Dawn Show. I'm also on the Insta and Facebook. And every day you can watch me and our great team. Today we got Aaron with us running the board and taking your calls. You can always watch us on Civic Media's YouTube channel and see all of my crazy facial expressions when we're listening to sound cuts together. This is why I do not play poker, folks. I'm just no good at it. But before we dive in, and I've got a couple of things planned for us today and also planned for my special guest host tomorrow with Tom Paulsiewicz, I'm going to focus probably a lot tomorrow on the Chicago Economic Forum meeting that Donald Trump attended yesterday. I spent, I'd say close to two and a half hours today listening and re-listening to that hour-long interview because there's so much incredible crud in there. There were about 19 major lies that I could detect. We'll talk about those tomorrow with Tom Paulsiewicz. We'll take some of that sound if we've got time today. But there's it's not just the lie itself. We know he lies. But as I've been suggesting to people, you really have to judge, like, how big of a lie is it, right? Like, how acutely wrong is the lie? Is the lie knowing? Like, is the information that proves that it's a lie readily available? Has it been discussed a lot? Is it a repetitive lie that they've been fact-checked repeatedly on? That's what I mean by acuteness. And then secondly, what is the impact of the lie? And when you start to look at what Donald Trump says, from not just is it false, which, again, candidates on both sides get fact check. But the fact check is the first step. Excuse me. The second and third steps are, if not as important, maybe even more important, because it is, again, the acuteness of the lie and the impact of the lie. And when you start to actually dig into Donald Trump's lies, and the Economic Forum interview is a prime example of this, you see that the acuteness and the impact of his lies outstrip any arguable falsehood by literally any Democrat running for office coast to coast right now. I mean, I'll challenge you on those metrics. Not only do you have to prove it's false to me, we got to look at what is the quality of the falsehood and what is its impact. Donald Trump is the purveyor of the most acutely, knowingly wrong, most impactful lies, frankly, in modern political history. And I want to focus in tomorrow with Tom Paulsiewicz on the economics of it. We're also going to be joined tomorrow by a very special guest from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin while Tom is co-hosting with me. We're going to talk about the youth vote. So all of that coming up tomorrow. But today, let's just jump in here. As a place setter for the discussion that we're going to have with Tom tomorrow, I wanted to make some observations about the fact that when you look at the well-being, health, and wealth of states, and you compare them, there is absolutely no debating the fact that red states, I mean states that are historically deep red, always controlled by Republican governors and Republican legislatures, it is always the case, almost universally, that states controlled by Republicans are less healthy and poorer than states that are purple or democratically controlled. And by this, I mean a Democrat as governor. And it's almost on every single conceivable metric. I want to tip my hat to Tom Hartman here. I do get his daily newsletter, and he did a piece about this. And I think to set the table for what we're going to the deeper dive that we're going to do on Trump's comments before the Economic Forum yesterday in Chicago with Tom Paulsowitz tomorrow on the show. I wanted to dig into some of these statistics because, listen, doesn't this say something about the viability of extreme conservative policies? In other words, do they actually produce the outcomes that conservative candidates and now the new Christian Nationalist Party keep telling folks that they're going to produce, which is middle-class families doing better, people being healthier and wealthier? Well, if that's true, then wouldn't a petri dish for that argument be to look at red and blue states and compare their health and wealth and see who fares better in general, right? And it is these generalities that I think matter. Of course, there will always be exception to the generalities, but when we analyze it, again, on almost every metric, we're going to talk about spousal abuse, smoking, teen pregnancy, homelessness, child poverty, the number of people on welfare, the number of parasitic infections. We're going to go through that. Would it surprise you to find out, again, that the red states struggle? So I want to go through that with you this half hour. And talk a bit about that. I also have some sounds that I would like to share with you. Of course, yesterday we talked about Trump's shocking fascist comments about the enemy from within and that he's going to dispatch the National Guard and the military to take care of the crazy radical left, including Adam Schiff. Well, guess what? Today in his women's town hall, he effectively doubled down on those statements. We'll listen to that. We'll compare them. I also have some fun sound for you all from Colin Allred's debate against Ted Cruz yesterday in Texas. It is a mic drop of mic drops. We're going to get to all of that this first half hour before, again, we bring on Christina Reynolds from Emily's List. So let's just start with the very brass tacks when we compare red and blue states. Blue states account for about 71% of America's gross domestic product. Just 71%. 7-1. That's first thing. The median family income in blue states is nearly $75,000, while in red states, it's $63,000. We'll continue to dig in. But I'll leave you with this last fact. And then I want to hear from you all, too, when we come back. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Residents in blue states, yeah, we live 2.2 years longer than our fellow citizens, neighbors, and friends that live in red states. Folks, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. I'ma keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves. What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm very excited to bring my next guest to the show. We've got former Attorney General Eric Holder. He served as the nation's chief law enforcement officer for 6 years from 2009 to 2015 in the Obama administration. Since that time, he has dedicated his professional life and I think probably a whole ton of his personal time as well to protecting the rights of every American citizen to their franchise, to the vote, to fighting partisan gerrymandering that effectively robs us of this basic promise of one person and one vote. Welcome, Attorney General Holder. It's a pleasure to have you.
Hey, Maggie. It's great to talk to you, and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
As am I, sir. Let me start with this. I ended my career as Milwaukee County's chief legal officer. When I took that role, I swore an oath to uphold our state and federal constitutions. And as part of that, it simply means that I do the job objectively and fairly, that I don't let that office be used for personal partisan purposes or that certain outcomes would be predetermined. I want to start there, sir. How important is the independence, the objectivity of the DOJ to a regular American?
Oh, it's everything. I mean, the rule of law is really the foundation for America. But in addition to that, at the Justice Department. We also have to have people at the state and local level as well who are committed to the rule of law, who will administer the law in a fair way, who will try to ensure at a most basic level that people have the ability to express themselves politically by being able to vote and not deal with voter suppression tactics, not deal with racial and partisan gerrymandering, not deal with unfair voter purges. There's a whole range of things that we have to deal with now in 21st century America, and it's vitally important that we have a Justice Department, a federal Justice Department, that is focused on those issues. But as well, we always have to remember, at the state and local level as well, we need to have fair-minded people.
Yes, so important, sir. This brings me to, of course, Project 2025, which, you know, there's many elements of Project 2025, but of course, one of them is this idea that the Department of Justice should be an arm of the White House, that it's okay to use the Department of Justice to try to accomplish political ends. When we look both at what Project 2025 promises in terms of decimating the independence of the Department of Justice, but also bringing the apparatus of the federal government not to do the job as good civil servant experts do objectively and fairly, but to basically make every single department within the federal government subject to the political whims of whomever occupies the Oval Office. Sir, again, to a regular Wisconsinite, a regular American, what sort of threat, based on your experience in federal government, does Project 2025 pose to everyday life here in the United States?
Well, I don't think people can underestimate the negative impact of Project 2025. It would essentially do away with the federal civil service as we know it, and essentially make people who are in those positions, in all kinds of positions, and especially in law enforcement positions, political appointees who would be beholden to a Trump administration, to a President Trump. And when you compound that with this Supreme Court decision, the immunity decision that gives him, or gives any president, but would give President Trump, if he were elected, the ability to direct the Justice Department to do a whole variety of things without any kind of criminal liability, you would really unleash Donald Trump, and it would have a negative impact on the average American in a whole range of ways, from health care, from criminal law enforcement, from voter protection, from the ability to for a woman to decide what she wants to do with her own body. All of these things would be impacted by a politicized civil service, and especially by a politicized United States Department of Justice. If for no other reason, people need to vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz just to ensure that Project 2025 does not become the law of the land.
Folks, that's former Attorney General Eric Holder. I want to ask you a follow-up question about that, because I helped Milwaukee County both organize and then defend our recount in 2020 that was requested by the Trump campaign. And it was, in fact, a Republican, a Trump-appointed judge in the federal courts that rejected all of the claims made by the Trump campaign after the 2020 election. In other words, rejected the big lie. Can voters rely on the federal courts as currently constituted to protect their vote, to respect the integrity of our elections, and to defend that?
Yeah, I think that we generally can. I fear that in a second Trump administration, however, you would have placed on the federal courts ideologues as opposed to good lawyers. But I think as presently constituted, Americans can have faith in our system, but also have faith in the Walz, Harris effort to make sure that their votes, in fact, are protected. We have, you know, tons of lawyers all around the country prepared to go into court to deal with whatever Republicans throw at us in terms of these false claims of, you know, ballot manipulation and rigging of the ballots, all that kind of stuff, and be as successful in 2024 as we were in 2020 when we had to win 60 cases in a variety of courts, federal courts as well as state courts. So I still think that we can rely on the courts, and people should not be, you know, intimidated. People should not be negatively impacted by the prospect of what the Republicans are going to try to do what the courts might do. The first and foremost thing that we as American citizens have to do is to elect Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, and making sure that we have a plan to vote, and then making sure that we actually cast our ballots by November the 5th.
Folks, that's former Attorney General Eric Holder. You can find out more about your vote, where to register if you're registered, the ward that you will vote in at myvote.wi.gov. We've got just a little bit under a minute left. Former Attorney General Holder, speaking to Wisconsin voters out there, what is your message, including your message to Republicans, independents, and swing voters as they consider who to cast their ballot for?
Well, I would hope that people in Wisconsin will vote for people who stand for democracy. We have really kind of unraveled a gerrymander that was put in place by Republicans in Wisconsin in 2011. It took almost over a decade to get it done. And this is the first time in almost 13, 14 years where Wisconsinites will have the ability to cast ballots for in a fair way. So I want people to vote, focus on, you know, the Harris and Walz ticket, but make sure that you're also voting up and down the ballot for state assembly and for state senate, for people who will stand for democracy.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney General Eric Holder, and thank you for your work on behalf of Wisconsin voters. We'll be right back on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.